Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a weekly podcast to keep you up to date on what's new on our cloud platform, Microsoft Azure. Your hosts, Cynthia Crane, Evan Basilik, Sujit DeMello, Kendall Roden, Kel Teeter, and Russell Young discuss a different service or solution on each show, with subject matter experts to explain how to get started, how different services work, and how to make decisions in tricky scenarios. You can find out more about our podcast at azpodcast.com or follow us on Twitter at Azure Podcast.
Welcome back to the Azure Podcast. This is episode 323, recorded on April 15th. And today we are going to be covering Azure Cognitive Search with our special guest, Jennifer Marsman. On Teams with me, I have myself, Cynthia, Evan, and Kale. And before going into our special guest and a very interesting topic, what are some of the updates that came up this week? Evan, do you want to start?
Yeah, sure. This is fairly timely, with COVID-19, you know, pretty hardcore here in the U.S. right now. But we've released, so Azure Blueprints is a service that Azure has that allows you to, in essence, define a bunch of policies that layer on top of all your resources, right? It sort of is a way to enforce the rules and regulations that your company has about resources. Well, we've just announced some blueprints that will help customers set up their environment so it's HIPAA compliant, right? So if you're setting up some new stuff in Azure and you want to make sure, now this doesn't make your solution HIPAA compliant by itself, right? You absolutely have to, I want to make sure that's clear. You have to do some additional code and handle data in a certain way to do that. But it does enforce a whole bunch of the rules and policies around access and having security and all that kind of stuff that you're going to need to get to that HIPAA level.
That's super cool.
Awesome. Do you have anything?
Yeah, I had two other ones in there. As things are a little bit lighter here because of the COVID, but there's still some things coming out. And one of them that was announced was around the Azure Maps Web SDK, which is kind of relevant to a lot of work that's going on for COVID actually now. There's a big interest in using maps and having rich kind of data intersecting with those maps. But there's a pretty neat, if you take a look at it, we've had this for a while, but it's been quite enhanced with a bunch of other like spatial modules and things right now to do different overlays. There's these really cool pop-up templates that allow you to kind of tag stuff much easier and have like a nice little interface there as part of your solution. And then there's a lot of code samples that the team has put out there around, even things like using GeoJSON files or any kind of like path routing, those kind of solutions on there. So that's pretty interesting. Take a look at it. I don't know if that's in preview. I haven't looked at closely at it, but these are definitely new updates that are in there. And then the second piece was there's a virtual hackathon going on. I think this is targeted specifically or like mainly at folks in the Asia region. And it's actually going on. There's two phases of it, but it just started. It's going to start in one day. So we'll put the link in the show notes. But there's a nice website writing up about this. And this was primarily around AI and ML enthusiasts to come forward, specifically, as I mentioned, in the APAC region. But so if we have any listeners out there who are from that region, there's some challenges out here from different groups. There's prizes and things that come along with this. I think we're giving $3,000 USD to the winner. But there's other sponsors there as well who are giving gifts and prizes for this. So, come check it out. It's pretty cool, these virtual hackathons that are going on.
I wonder if there's also like COVID themed specific to some of the challenges, because that's what I've been seeing a lot of hackathons that are focused on, like detecting if people are close to you and if they're affected, or if there's other like distribution methods of either just who can buy groceries for you or the people in the community that you can help with.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't think this one's targeting COVID specifically, but I don't think it would be a negative, right? They have some criteria around how you're using ML or AI, but certainly there's a lot of overlap there. So yeah, I'm sure you could with this.
Definitely. I don't have anything else, so I will go. Jennifer, go ahead.
I was going to say, there is a Microsoft internal hackathon going on specifically around COVID right now. I don't know if you guys have seen that. It is internal, but I know there's so many Microsoft employees that are kind of feeling the way I think a lot of us developers are feeling right now, where we're just like, how can we help? How can we use the technology we know and such to make a difference? And so Microsoft has a yearly hackathon called 1 Week. And so it's using the same infrastructure as 1 Week to be able to do all kinds of COVID-related projects. So there's a way for people to propose projects and other people to jump on and help with them. So it's really amazing to see like this whole community of developers, you know, coming together and trying to make a difference.
Yeah, that is cool.
It's awesome. Well, now that Jeffrey's spoken, can you introduce yourself to our listener, who you are and what you do at Microsoft?
Of course. My name is Jennifer Marsman, and I'm a principal developer at Microsoft, a principal engineer, I should say. And right now I'm working on the cognitive search team. And what got me really excited about the cognitive search team is just the overarching machine learning problem of trying to make sense out of unstructured data. So I've been in kind of doing AI work for quite some time. I have done AI work as part of the developer evangelism, CSE. I worked on the AI for Earth team. And so using AI for good has long been a passion of mine. And what really got me excited about the cognitive search team is that they're kind of trying to take this challenge of, I have a whole bunch of data. So imagine, I don't know, a legal firm with just piles and piles of paper sitting around. The best way to do a denial of service attack on a legal firm is to just dump all these caseloads of paper right in front of you and ask them to make sense of all that. And so how we can use machine learning to mine that data and extract knowledge is a really exciting problem for me. So that's the reason that I joined the team. And I think there's been a lot of stuff happening right now in the natural language processing space. And so seeing how we can apply that in the space is really, really cool. So I don't know if you guys have used cognitive search before, but if you haven't, it's a pretty neat they've got a pretty neat machine learning pipeline. So I actually focus less on the search side, but more on the AI side. And the code name for the team was Grok, if you guys are familiar with the history of the word Grok.
No, that's not a techie history at all. No, not at all.
I'd like to be inclusive because I know all of us in the technology have come from different paths, but I absolutely loved that book way back when. So, but the meaning behind it is trying to understand something, right? So having that knowledge and trying to make sense of data is really the point of the team. And so they actually have a really cool machine learning pipeline that is applied inside of cognitive search, where there's document cracking capabilities for a whole bunch of different document formats. So basically, you could just take a whole bunch of data. So think, you know, Word documents and PDFs and JPEGs and just any kind of data, or just throw it all up in Azure Blob Storage, say, although it works with several different databases as well. And then being able to just apply document cracking, and we take care of all of that for you. So no matter what the format is, we know how to crack a huge variety of different document formats. We extract all of the content out of it. And then you can essentially apply a whole bunch of different cognitive services to that data. So think about things like entity extraction. So pulling out names of people and names of organizations and things like that. We can do language detection and then translation if need be. So if you have problems with, if you need to extract things of different languages and kind of bring all that content together across language barriers, you could essentially do that. As well as image processing type tasks. So think about OCR. If you have a bunch of PDFs, it can do optical character recognition to be able to extract the text from what is essentially an image, as well as visual features, recognizing different visual features. So the things that you can see in the computer vision API and cognitive services are also exposed. So getting things like captions. So really, really neat. You can build together a whole skill set of, oh, let me just kind of pick and choose some of these pre-trained machine learning models that I can get from cognitive services. But then you also have the ability to add in your own custom skills as well. So if I'm an insurance agency and I wanted to maybe automatically process some of these images of, you know, a flooded basement announcement and maybe do a quick pass and, you know, for a damage ranking or something like that. You could add in kind of your own custom machine learning models as well. And then any data, any of this kind of AI enriched data, you can then add into your search index as well. And so that makes it even more powerful to be able to search content and be augmented with all the other data that you've added.
So question around that, because and I'll share a little bit of one of my history. Years and years and years ago in a previous life, we went to digitize all of, I was in research and development for a textile manufacturer, and we went to digitize all our stuff. It was miserable. Data was basically not usable after the fact. So what you're talking about really resonates in terms of getting the value out of this. But what struck me when you talk about like insurance or law, they may have some kind of very unique situations, but there's still, are there stock rules for, say, industries, right, that I could leverage? Because, I mean, insurance is, not every insurance is exactly the same, but it's kind of a general category versus law kind of has their own language, right? That's going to be pretty common between different law firms. Is there some ability to kind of leverage a base one for my industry?
Yeah. So one of the things we're looking at right now is trying to figure out how we can work with these various industry verticals to provide models that make a lot of sense. And actually, could I show you? I would love to tell you about an example of one kind of very relevant thing right now that we're working on. All right. Well, this has not been released yet, but our text analytics team has used one of the models that is specifically built up in the healthcare domain to be able to extract key medical terminology from a document. So this is natural language processing. Think about being able to extract things like names of various medications or names of various diagnoses, names of symptoms, things like that, that are very, very useful for in the medical industry, but you wouldn't see in like a general purpose, you know, BERT type model. But if you build a domain-specific one for these specific kind of tasks, in this case would be the medical domain, that can be very, very, very powerful. And so our partners in the text analytics team are working on that. And so one of my amazing colleagues, a guy by the name of Liam Cavanaugh, he actually was working, just over the weekend, look at cognitive search, and there have been some amazing data sets put together by the Allen AI Institute in conjunction with Microsoft and Kaggle and others. They have a whole open research data set around COVID-19, which I know is something that's cool. Near and dear to a lot of our hearts right now. We're all like in this together as a planet. And so what he did was basically took all of that data, and then he ran it against the text analytics, their specific model for medical entity extraction. And you can actually see it live right now if you go to https://covid19search.azurewebsites.net. And if you check it out, you can see a lot of these really amazing entity extraction that is a domain-specific model. So it's actually a medical domain model. But then we're able to utilize that as a custom skill in a cognitive search pipeline and then add those things into a search index. And then now if you go to that page and search for something, I don't know, you can search for something generic like coronavirus, you'll see on the side that now I can leverage all of this other information of what would be kind of maybe a little hard to search right now. I can actually jump to sections like body structures. We'll jump into things like cells and lung and body tissues and those kind of things. There's a whole category of different diagnoses. You can see some things that are showing up in facets there around like the SARS coronavirus, the Middle East respiratory syndrome, which was a related disease, those kind of things. There's various examination names. There's family relations. So you can see, you know, relatives and kind of family things and what's been happening there. There's genes. That's extremely useful, looking at how this CD4 gene versus this HR gene and this POR gene, the variety of genes that are available and that are being cited in these medical research documents are all now kind of popping up. So you can say, okay, if I think there's something, this gene seems to be the key to me based on my research, let me click now and just filter by this facet. And now I can just look at say, the HPS4 gene and what other people are saying and what their examinations and medical studies have turned up as well. There's also medication classes and names of medications and various symptoms or signs. You can see fever, coughing, those kind of things in there, as well as different treatment names and such. So this allowed us to give kind of even more depth and understanding using kind of the power of artificial intelligence to be able to augment this. And I actually had a real use case where this was so helpful to me. So I don't know if you guys have been obsessively following all of the COVID-19 research and literature and such.
Can you avoid it?
I know, right? You really can't. Just scrolling through Facebook or whatever, you're going to see it everywhere. Well, there, a couple weeks back, there was actually a story from France that ibuprofen was bad to use with a COVID-19 diagnosis. And I believe the reasoning was something like the fact that it opened up certain receptors, which made it easier for the COVID-19 virus to take hold. But then the World Health Organization actually issued a statement to avoid ibuprofen, but then they later recanted it. And so, you know, rumors and such are circulating on Facebook and Amazon prices for Tylenol and other like non-ibuprofen fever reducers and pain relievers are starting to increase. And, you know, like all worried mothers or parents, you know, I didn't know what to believe. And so I actually went to this site and I searched for ibuprofen. And with the one of the later data refreshes, it didn't show up the first week that we did it, but we've been refreshing the data weekly. And the next week when it came up, I searched for ibuprofen again. And like the first result at that point was a great article, from a trusted source. So these are, medical researchers publishing their findings. And they had a very clear article that they wrote on ibuprofen and how it related to the COVID-19 infection. And so they had it was a great summary that said, overall, it seems reasonable, but not mandatory to avoid ibuprofen. So really nice summary from a source that I could trust. So that was really, really kind of a neat thing to see.
How long did, so y'all set this site up. How long did it take to set this up? I mean, obviously y'all are experts in using the technology.
So really it was a single person, Liam, working on the weekend, and he just wanted to try to make a difference and see what was possible. And I had a similar idea, but Liam beat me to it. So like he deserves full credit for this one. And then we're looking at different things. So he has been working with hospitals and trying to find related research of how people can use this. And we've gotten feedback from hospitals on the kind of things that would be helpful. And so he's been adding these things in. Like, for instance, you might see that there's like a date filter in the upper left-hand corner right now. That wasn't there originally, but the folks using it say, hey, it'd be great to filter by just the latest research too. Like, I just want like everything that's new in the last week. Can you give me that? And so we added in some date filters and other things based on that feedback. And then, so the first version was really done in a weekend. And then subsequent versions, like we've been adding, and you can see there's a latest application updates there. So we've been trying to add things. I'm trying to do some work to help with various things, trying to quantify the level of confidence in various studies. So that's something we're looking at adding. We're looking at kind of back-end optimizations and how to kind of scale it, because it's a little like running it through all the documents. How can we optimize that and scale it out a little better? So there's all kinds of neat stuff that's being done there. And then, of course, there's the great work of the text analytics team that they're doing with the medical entity extraction work. So they've done some really great stuff there that's allowed us to add these things in here as well. So it's great that like real people, real hospitals and such have wanted to use it. And then other people, just, you know, worried parents like me can check it out as well if they want to try to do it. But we have committed to keeping this tool updated with the latest data for the, you know, foreseeable future, because it's really just a matter of, you know, we all want to do our part to fight the virus and see how we can come together and, you know, use AI for good.
Jennifer, can you talk about, like you said, it was really easy to set up. Can you just walk us through what the setup would look like in the Azure Portal experience and sure. How people should decide choosing between using Azure Cognitive Search or using other things like Bing Search APIs? Like, how should they make that decision?
Yeah, great question. All right. So kind of two separate things there, the portal versus and then using banks. So let me address the bank thing first. So Bing, obviously our partners in Bing are amazing. And I love the guy we're in Bing. Oh, they're also wonderful. There's different ways you can handle this. In general, I would use a Bing search when you're talking about a web search, right? So if I'm trying to search the entire thing of the internet, then Bing search is a great resource for that to pull back relevant resources. The value that we add to the table is really imagine that you have, you know, your own set of data that you want to process. And that could be HTML. It very well could be HTML or, you know, PDFs. So maybe you have a variety of a lot of different types of content that you want to add things through. That would work really well there. If you have a bunch of stuff in a database or in Azure Blob Storage, PDFs and JPEGs and a variety of lots of different things, and you want to be able to, from those images, actually get information about what is in the image, we really shine there. If you want to combine lots of different data sources together, so think about I'm working with PDFs and images and some Word docs and all of that, like we can handle document cracking for all of those different formats. So in that case, I think it makes sense to use cognitive search as well. And then all of these AI enrichments, as well as if you wanted to add your own custom AI enrichments, like stick your own AI enrichments into this kind of machine learning pipeline, we have support to do that in a very easy kind of pipeline. So let me talk about the portal experience. So there's a very kind of easy peasy way you can do it within the portal. And then we also have ways to do all of this programmatically as well. So if you're more comfortable with REST and, you know, calling REST endpoints, you can do that as well if you want to kind of whip up a programmatic solution too. But if you go to the portal and you create a new search resource, you can search for cognitive search or Azure search and create one of those new Azure cognitive search services. And then once you have that in the portal, basically you have kind of an empty search service, and then you can click import data as your first step. And then very easily you'll be able to see here is all of the different data sources that we can pull from. So there's a lot of different Azure resources. So you can pull from Azure Blob Storage. You can pull from various kinds of databases and such, MySQL support. So you point it at the data that you want to pull in, and then it actually, we do some intelligence to kind of look at the format and shape of the data that's in that data source to suggest, okay, here's some things that you might want to add. And then you can tell us kind of then you kind of just click some buttons to say, here's the level I want the data to be processed at. So do you want it done like at the document level where each document you want to do, for example, the language detection on an entire document might make sense. But if you wanted to do like sentiment analysis, maybe you want to do that at the sentence level, like sentence by sentence. So basically you tell us how you want us to chunk the data. Is it the document level? Is it kind of the page level? Or is it a sentence level? And then we will go ahead and do that document chunking for you. And then you just kind of basically check a box for the things that you want. We'll kind of say, here's what an index could look like. You can have your content here. It can grab various metadata as well as like when the content was created, things like that. So that way you can easily put on date filters and stuff like that in your search index. We do a lot of that for you. And then you can kind of basically just check the boxes for the cognitive services that you want. So things like the entity extraction of people or organization names. If you want the image, the OCR, to be able to convert text in an image to text that you can actually utilize, and image captioning and those kind of things. You can just basically check the boxes for whatever it is that you want, and then it will create and then specify what you want your index to look like. And we basically kind of put a guess for all of those in there for you. So you can basically kind of go through and just click next, 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 and it will do a decent job just through the portal experience. And then finally, it'll give you an indexer. So by the end, you will have created three things. An index of kind of what your search index will look like, a skill set, which you can choose to have or not have as you'd like. But if you want to add any of these cognitive services, those are called skills, where you can have either the cognitive services skills in there, or you can add your own custom machine learning things as well, call out to those. We have an interface defined for exactly how you do that and some great sample code and such as well. And then the last thing it creates is an indexer that will just basically map you through all that. And then once you run the indexer, you'll get all that stuff put into a search index. So it's hopefully a fairly smooth process for anyone who wants to do it. But of course, feedback is always welcome if there's things that people would like to see. I'd love to hear it.
Yeah,
that, and I know that, Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, Cynthia.
I was going to just point people to the JFK files that the team has parsed down. That's really cool that you can search through like all the really old images.
Wait a minute. Do we know who shot them now? Is that the end goal of this?
Isn't that cool? So the JFK files demo was this amazing demo that was put together by the team that when the U.S. government, I think a couple recently, it was within the last couple years, they released all of what was formerly classified information on the whole JFK investigation of and Lee Harvey Oswald and kind of all of the whole investigation around what happened that day in Dallas. And so it's some amazing stuff because it has everything from images. You see like the mugshot of Lee Harvey Oswald is in there. There's a whole bunch of government documents that there's some handwritten stuff and just a ton of information that was released to the public. And so basically they threw that all into cognitive search, like set up a quick pipeline and ran it all through. And then you can actually get an amazing search with all these different facets of like kind of relevant information, as well as a neat, essentially knowledge graph of you can see how the different players related to each other. It kind of extracted out some of these relevant entities and then shows a graph of how they correlate. So it's really, really, really fun demo to play with if you haven't seen it.
Do you have any last questions for Jennifer before we part?
No, this sounds great. I was sort of most taken by, you know, your description of the portal experience, because that actually sounds like something, you know, I have no experience in ML or AI, but that actually sounds like something I could do, right? Which is always the intimidating part, right? When you look at some of these technologies.
Yes. No, we've tried really hard to give it a turnkey experience to be able to have the portal be as easy to walk through as possible. So I'm really excited to see how we can bring more intelligence to search and kind of help people make sense of all of this massive unstructured data that's out there in the world. So if there's any feedback that you guys have, I am on Twitter at Jennifer Marsman. So feel free to reach out. I'm happy to hear from any of your listeners.
Sounds great. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you
for your time.
See you, folks.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any thoughts, questions, or just want to connect, find us on Twitter at Azure Podcast. Background music has been taken from ccmixer.org under the Creative Commons license. We hope you'll tune in again soon to keep learning with us.